I'm just thinking, what a day to be listening to Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, the 401k and, of course, Retirement Authority.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, Brexit is a reality. We are in the new paradigm moving forward. A lot of volatility, a lot of chaos, but a lot of money was made today. We'll break it down for you, let you know how you can win off the Brexit, what this means going forward, and how this is already affecting your pocketbook. If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can email us, Gregory at GregoryRicks.com. You can send us a text message a couple of ways via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app or GregoryRicks.com and put your question in the chat box. Or if you're goofing around on Periscope, find us there and you can type in your question. And if I look down at the right time, I'll see it. But the big story of the day is obvious, Brexit. And we were watching this last night. The first returns were coming in during the show last night.
Yeah, about midway through, 7:30, I think we caught it.
And
flashed up on the screen.
And our initial reaction was, wow, the polls were absolutely wrong. And
it seemed like what was more important is what the bookies said was going to happen. Not, you know, the polls are notoriously wrong, but the bookies said it's 80% chance they're staying. So it was, Wall Street was like on it.
So I guess the Brexit was supposed to take a dive in the fourth round and it didn't. But I'm happy about this. This is what we wanted to happen. And
well, I want to congratulate the UK, because if I was a citizen of that region, I'd have voted to opt out. From everything I learned and heard, is you're giving up your sovereignty, giving up your country, giving up your tea kettle, balloons for your little kids.
Why do you say tea kettle? They had to give up their tea kettle for something?
Well, there's, you know, the electric toasters, there's electric, you know, the folks in Brussels said that's not energy efficient enough. That's just the little things that were going just over regulated, and they didn't have a say in who was giving out the regulations. And I've got another thought, because I was thinking about it, is this makes Margaret Thatcher look that more brilliant, because she put her foot down and said, we are not going with the euro. She thought it was a bad move. She thought the European Union was kind of a mismatch thrown together. Well, not thrown together. They are all kind of adjoined in some way, but it's a mix match in economies, capabilities, willing to work. And she is absolutely right about that, because you see what a kind of financial mess it is overall. But think about it this way. What if she hadn't have done that? Said, you know, we're staying with the pound. If they had all been involved in the euro, how would you unwind that?
And yeah,
I think that would have been the difference. Like, God, now we got to switch back. We got to reevaluate the currency. We got to print money again, and the coins, and all the coins we need. Think about that.
It made it a lot harder. It made it 10 times harder.
I doubt it would have unwound if the currency had been involved.
Now, politically speaking, the big winner here over in the UK is a fellow named Nigel Farage. And I hope I'm saying that right, but he was the politician who was basically the face of the Leave movement.
And where's he at?
He's in the UK.
Okay. I was looking for something tighter there. London or?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Okay.
He's in Parliament. That's all I know. I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. But, you know, the mayor of Londonistan now, you know, it didn't turn out. You know, they kept wondering, oh, well, London's vote's going to come in. It could shift. And then it didn't.
Here's
too
a clip
of a gap. Go ahead.
Here's a clip from Nigel Farage.
It's a victory for ordinary people, decent people. It's a victory against the big merchant banks, against the big businesses, and against big politics. And I'm proud of everybody that had the courage, in the face of all the threats, everything they were told, they had the guts to stand up and do the right thing. June the 23rd needs to become a national bank holiday, and we will call it Independence Day.
Yeah,
they've got their Independence
Day. It's a victory.
I didn't mean to loop that. Yeah, they haven't had an Independence Day before. Now they got one.
thought that was pretty cool.
Well, from what,
everybody should have one. The day that really means something significant.
From what I hear, there's a few parallels between this Nigel Farage guy and Donald Trump. He talks about the establishment. He's well hated. Yeah. Half the media calls him racist and bigot and all that. And the one issue that he embraced and ran over the finish line with was immigration on the Brexit vote. That was what really sealed the deal. And when you talk to people, like on my morning show, I put the word Brexit in the title. So we had an unusual number of people from the UK coming in, maybe 11 or 12. It was unanimous, though. Every single one of them was happy that they left. But you turn on the TV, you would think public opinion and all of the UK's out crying in the streets today because none of them wanted this to happen. But when you talk to people on the street, it's a different story.
Don't we have somebody on Periscope from the UK logged in? I wonder.
Yeah,
because one of the things I heard, and you hear this, like the Chads in Florida
or another
complicated
UK.
Ballots, is I was hearing today, well, the ballot, it was way too complicated. They didn't understand what they were voting for. I think it's pretty simple. Are you in or are you out? Was maybe if they would respond, one of our listeners.
We have a few in there.
Was the ballot complicated?
Yeah. What did the ballot look like? Was it just a yes or no? Well, we have one person in here that said they voted to stay. The green one is saying that there was a lot of propaganda involved. This one voted to remain. But old people voted to leave. Is there a response?
If you look at the demographics, I would say the millennials probably were more about the stay, if you went by demographics.
According to this person in the UK, it says most young people voted to stay. Around 75% voted to stay.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we talked about the other night on the show, is where this felt. That it was coming from, that the older group has more life experience and experience in the region. And, you know, there's some history there that plays into it as well. But knowing that they have rights that have kind of been taken away, you know, they're not really liking that. So there was also a lot of correlation between that vote, election, or referendum and our upcoming election about which way things are going to go here. And this election is more than just Democrats and Republicans, but it's the direction of the country. Immigration plays into it. The Supreme Court decisions that are upcoming. We got a lot of Supreme Court members that are long in the tooth and a vacant seat. So we have so much that's playing into this.
UK members here said that the ballot was amazingly simple. It was just leave or remain.
That's what I thought. How could it be more complicated than that?
Another one of the people joining in on Periscope in the UK says she's already signed a petition for another referendum to really, for real, stay in the EU this time. And it's up above 461,000 signatures already on that petition.
Well, here's my take on it, and we can get some feedback from those joining us on Periscope, is, you know what, I always kind of like when I do business deals, even my contract for this show is I have an opt-out.
Your exits. You're always talking about your exits.
I always like exits. Even in business deals, I like to have an exit.
You do.
And that's kind of, hey, is this a renegotiation point? So what you had was an option. And you option to exit to renegotiate. This doesn't mean everything's going away. Let's see. The UK still has their pound, right?
Yes.
And this is a 2-year transition, and everybody still wants to do trade. You know, heck, that scotch that we get from the UK, 75% of our scotch comes from the UK. I don't think we want that deal to go bad as well. So what you got is, I thought it was a no-brainer to opt out because you get to renegotiate and position yourself better. That's how I look at it from a business standpoint. This is business. Let's renegotiate the deals.
Well, that's the kind of mindset where kind of you understand why the millennials, the younger people voted 75% to stay. They don't know what the alternative is.
They don't know about the alternative, and they don't know that side of negotiation. Can we position ourselves better? And if we don't like some of this stuff comes down from the top, we don't have to accept it.
Yeah, from a business standpoint, now you're in a position where the Britain can look at the EU and make demands of them. Oh, really? You want to sit back in the EU? How bad?
It's not the same deal they signed up for years ago. So, I like to opt out. If I have my money put in something, my client's money, we have to have an exit, a way to opt out. And I'm notorious for doing business deals where I have an opt out and have I used them? Yes.
All right, I want to play
quite a bit.
I want to play Maria Bartiromo. We're going to take a break, and then I want to get your reaction to her comments here, because this sounded like us.
And I have no doubt in my mind that at some point this will become a buying opportunity. Now, I don't know if it's at the end of today or if it's in the next couple of days. Oftentimes, you really do need to see things settle out. But, you know, we had a number of guests on this morning, all of whom said, yeah, at some point I'm going to be looking at this market down 300, 400, 500 points and saying, where is the opportunity? I need to put new money to work in this market. I don't think this is a negative. You know, this market has been overextended for a little while. In other words, it was rising in some people's minds in the face of an economy that's real slow. So maybe we were due for a real pullback. It could be 500 points at the close today. It may very well close off of the lows. But at some point, you're going to see buyers coming in and saying, this is an opportunity that I cannot pass up. I need to buy America. I need to buy stocks right here, given these prices are much lower than they have been.
So that's what we're talking about after the break, the new opportunity in the Brexit vote. Gregory, you already made a lot of money today.
We did good today.
I want you to tell you a little secret of the pros. And if you have any questions or comments on the Brexit, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. Hey, it's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. I'm your co-host, James Parker. The phone number to get involved is 504-260-0995.
Download that app.
Yeah, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. You know, if you're too cool to actually put your voice on a phone call and who's got time, sit there and wait on the whole call.
Oh, we're fixing to roll out some more interactive stuff next week as well, and it's going to be linked to that app. You're going to want to have that app. So go to your app store, do the search, download it.
All right. Your response to Maria Bartiromo, the Fox Business Angel that does their morning programming.
Yeah, I was pretty much watching Fox last night, and she was involved in the – is that where you picked it up, watching it, or you did the phone?
I tell you what was cool is, you know, she rules Fox Business in the morning. She was all over the regular old Fox News this morning. They leaned on her.
Yeah.
And there must be 10 videos of her that are clipped up on those two websites. Same thing with Rick Santelli. They really ran him like a racehorse today, didn't they?
Oh, when he let loose, we're going to play that for you in a little while too, where he cut loose this morning. Well, he was going to let it go. And then Becky asked him a question and he just opened up. But from Maria's standpoint is, yeah, there's going to be some discounts, but we're not there yet. And here's my take on it is basically what we gave back today or in the market, what it dropped was just taking back that overpricing. That tell me in a normal world, we don't have a vote or anything. And they look over there, the UK and European Union. Well, everything looks good. They're staying together. Well, let's bounce the market up 3% because that.
Right.
That's one of the largest consumable areas of product there. Why did we price up? Because we didn't say, oh my gosh, there's a vote. The market should drop a bunch. Oh, it's going well. Let's move up. I don't see how it should have moved up, but all we did today was take back that move up. This still is a game-changing event. I think we have more discounting coming or corrective pricing for the market because they darn sure got it wrong the past 2 days. And those that were buying at that last 20 minutes of the market got hung out to dry. So do I think there's some discounting, some buying to do? Yes, but we're not there yet.
Well, some of the opportunities are.
But it starts getting like, you know, Ford was off 6%, good dividend paying company. AT&T hardly budged. Atmos Energy was up today. No, we're not there yet. This market was kind of at the top. It's overpriced. we only shaved a week off of it.
Well, some of the real opportunity was yesterday and the day before, where you get in on the downside. You win on the downside. You made money today. How did you do that?
Well, we were, you know, in the past we've been, you know, we were holding some bond-like ETFs or bond ETFs, conservative, and we were holding some cash, and we had picked up some inverse positions, which means if the market goes down, you make money. Well, we also increased our balanced income strategy, and I call it BIP, balanced income portfolio. And what do I mean by that? It's not equity and income or bonds, where you consider it like a growth and income, where some of those have that balance thing. I'm thinking of a scale, you know, the one that has the scales on two sides, like, you know, what is it, you know, the astrological symbol for Libra is a scale, or attorneys use the scale.
The Lady Justice.
Yeah.
That's what she's called.
And what when I talk about balance, I don't want those scales moving much to either side. I want balance there. And that's what balanced income means, is market chaos isn't going to move it too much. But I didn't even look at what we're up today in that, but we're already year to date up, neighborhood of 3.5%. That doesn't even include the 3% dividend. So 2 weeks ago, I almost doubled our position in that, and we held our inverses at about 30%. And new clients coming out, we were adding that to it as well. I just didn't want to be overweighted in that, because here, when it comes down to it, I'm pretty good at what I do. But ultimately, do we really know? It's like the market yesterday saying to the bookie, said, this is an 80% done deal. They're staying. Okay. And the market ran with it. Like they exactly knew.
They ate it, right?
Yeah. They just ate right into that. And those people got crushed today when the market turned. And that's where you can see here on the, get to my chart. So once again, yeah, see that buying at the end, and then they woke up short a bunch of money, and it just got worse as the day went. So my thing is, we're not done with the going down, and wait till Monday, because now we're going to talk about what the technicals generated. So I'm going to be looking at that over the weekend, and we're going to see where this thing goes next week.
You know, I don't think this was that bad of a day. You see the gap down from the opening.
Well, wait till I show you 5-day chart, and you're going to say this was nothing.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, oh, we've not priced this in, what's happened.
But most of the big loss we're seeing for today happened in overnight trading. Once it opened, there's only a 1% drop from the opening to the closing bells. And I want to see that.
Well, go back to a one-month chart.
Well, we're still down a little bit, but
yeah,
not much.
Well, we're down, but this wasn't some gigantic move. It's 3%.
Well, I remember the numbers.
It's a 3% move.
We're not down to that value we had in February.
Oh, no. Let's go to the year-to-date.
There it
is.
Oh,
we're nowhere. Go to the one-year chart.
Well, let's tell them what we're seeing. What's the number low in February?
Look, I can't get the mic over here, but
right over here, We're not even there yet.
We're not even to the valley from May.
No, we got some distance to go. This is too big of a deal for it to just blow off.
Okay.
And say, okay, head back to the top to where resistance. I like banging my head against the ceiling.
Well, when we talk about these technicals, I think it is barely under that May trough. Because look what the number is, 2037.
Yeah,
and that May trough looks like it's in the
24. Well, look, we'll grab the number right there. Is that lowest point, 2040. Okay, 3 points
so
under
we're
it.
At
right
we're at
the
that. Trough of May.
Yeah, that's nothing. And what was, and I know we're going to play Rick's part in a minute, but there was bad news today, and it wasn't the Brexit.
What else we have?
Durable goods were off 2.2%.
Now we got to talk about to Rick Santelli.
Whichever part you can, whether come back, I'm just still on Maria's thing, is we have more to go. And it's kind of crazy is, even extending this, is the Fed came out, oh, we're going to provide liquidity if needed.
Get out of here, Fed. Get out of here.
Yeah, you're kidding me. We've got $4.5 trillion on the books of liquidity that you've added, and Where does that have us? Probably in a recession right now.
All right,
has already started, and we just haven't seen the numbers yet.
I'm trying to think what is the technical bottom that we're expecting here? Because the low in March is significantly lower. We're looking at around 1950s, what March started at. February got all the way down to, 1830 and some change. And we're at 2037 now. So if it gets down to 1830, we still have another 200 points. We have another 10%.
Oh, we are such in a sweet spot today. That's where, you know, in talking to clients and going back to this before we get to the next break, is where were we positioned is for this to come. Is part of it is it all cycled together is we were at that resistance point. This market is not going anywhere. It's not done that for a year and a half, not broken through the resistance. So what do you think's going to happen? Is it going up or down? It's going down. And then we have a vote. My sense was an exit. Not enough to bet the farm, but was an exit.
So you keep in your short position or your inverse, I should say.
Yeah, we're not done with it. And, you know, we had added gold a couple weeks ago. Gotten profitable. It took it a little bit back this week, kind of like took away our gain. And
what did
like,
it do today? I didn't look at gold.
It's up like 5% at close. We'll get to it in a few minutes. But yeah, and even when you saw after hours, it's like gold, one of its biggest days in several years. Huge. And this is what gold does. It makes you money when things kind of get chaotic. Does it mean I'm going to hold gold from now on? Probably not.
Absolutely not.
But what is it for? It's to make us money. I don't have some emotional attachment. Give me a gold coin. I'm not going to buy one. You can give me one if you got an extra one. But
yeah, I got some in my glove box. I'll go get one for you. Hey, coming up, we're going to hear from Rick Santelli and his breakdown on the durable goods orders. But, when we talk about some of these reports that come out, you know, the jobless numbers and stuff, we're not supposed to have to watch reports from over the pond. But I have a feeling when they go through and they start renegotiating these trade deals and whatever economic agreements they have to make with their partners over in Europe, we're going to have to watch that, at least with the side eye, to see if our market reacts to it. And if it does, then we got to start keeping up with that, too.
If you've not seen the numbers, the Dow gave up 610.32 points, 3.39%. It closed at 17,400.75. The S&P closed at 2037, gave up almost 76 points. It's better than 3.5%. And the NASDAQ really didn't like it. It was all 4.12%, closed at 4707.98.
Wait a second. Isn't Dwayne our guest on tomorrow morning show?
Is. And you know what interest rates did today?
Right, Dad. It says mortgage lenders already feeling the Brexit benefit. This is a national mortgage news.
Yeah,
article.
We had 10-year treasuries, in the 1.5 area all day. Oh yeah. Time to refinance. Interest rates cheap if you thought, I missed it. It's back.
You got lucky because it might not have come back. It might have gone straight up if that vote yesterday went different.
It may get a little lower.
We'll talk to him at 11 o'clock tomorrow on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks right here on the News Talk 99.5 WRNO. If you have a financial situation, 504-260-0995 or send us a text via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Gregory Ricks and Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. You can get a copy of Form ADV, which means we're a licensed fiduciary with full disclosure, by calling the office 504-832-9200 or go to GregoryRicks.com.
All right, Gregory, you showed me this video when we were preparing for the show here. I missed it this morning when it actually happened. But now that I go back and I see the video of Rick Santelli on CNBC this morning, they should have just let him go. He had this look on his face. It's like, all right, we got to go to Rick Santelli for his, 30-second or 1-minute report on the durable goods report. It was down 2.2%. But he had this look on his face like, I wouldn't ask this guy anything. Like, you know, when your head coach in football is real mad, you just don't ask
him. Yeah, he was wound tight, and then Becky tossed him a question. You'll hear this part. It's cool. Yeah. Like, he like gives you the durable goods thing, and yeah, it's bad. And he's kind of, so, yeah, this is not good, but it's all about the Brexit. Back to you, Becky. And
yeah, well, I'm glad Becky asked the question. I wouldn't, though. I would rather ask Bill Cosby to fix me a drink than deal with Rick Santelli when he has that look on his face. So this is... this is a little 2-minute explosion here. Don't play the ad again, please.
It's down 2.2%, much worse than the slightly down numbers, somewhere between 0.5 we were looking for. And last month, we lost a tenth from 3.4 to 3.3. Strip out transportation, still down 3/10. If you look at capital goods orders, non-defense ex-aircraft, a proxy for some business investment, that actually was down way more than expected, down 7/10. Don't like that. On the shipment side, down 0.5%. So these aren't good numbers, but that's not the news today. As we all know, although it is big news. Big news today, it's tea time in London. Back to you.
Yeah, Rick, I wanted more from you on this. What are your thoughts?
What are my thoughts? Any country, any bank... anything that was on the take of easy money, central bank, central planner policy, beware. Beware. Because now we're seeing the tide of free, easy money recede. And we're getting to see who's swimming fundamentally naked. Okay? We want to watch the spreads between the Italian rates and the German rates, the French rates and the German rates. Because my guess is that's going to widen out. And UK... my guess is their rates are going to keep going down a bit. It's going to be a rough ride for the UK. I can't tell you the time frame, but in the end, this is about GPS. It's about reversing financial repression. And the GPS is they were going down the wrong road. Now they're going down the right road. Takes them a bit of a while through that recalculating mode we all hear in our cars. But this is a good move. I give the Brits credit. It took backbone. It took backbone to go against the tide. This is the spark. And I'll tell you what, Becky, I heard you earlier saying, the Fed was right not to raise rates. Maybe we can concede that. But what it really shows is how wrong they all were by keeping crisis levels with no crisis. Because now you have at least a little mini crisis and they have no tools left in the toolbox. Woe be to them. If there's a lesson here, it's that when there isn't a crisis, don't use monetary policy to implement activist monetary policy, because in the end, right always wins out, no matter what.
There's so many things in there. We could take that apart and dissect it. He covered so much stuff there. But I think the UK 10 years from now is a much better place than they are now, and they have been. And then about, he spoke about that Federal Reserve, which is what we've been saying. I've been saying for a long time is we should have already had several rate hikes, but they're sort of worried about this, the rotation of the moon, are the waves moving enough? Oh, the markets. The markets is none of their dadgum business, but it's regarding managing our money supply and interest rates. And they have totally failed. And now we're moving into a recession. Things are about to get uglier. And what do they have? One rate hike in how many years? 20?
Right.
How many?
It's been 8 years.
Seems a lot long. It's like forever that we've got a rate hike. But it's just one to give back. We should have at least had three. But oh no! But here's this last one. Why it didn't happen is because they know what we're about to go into, and they said that we're about to move into recession, and if we pop an interest rate, it's done. We're in it. So they couldn't at that point. They're just praying, can we do it in September? And they darn sure were talking to the bookies and expecting, okay, they're going to stay. We can raise the rate in September. And what is it now? It's zero for September. It's like what we talk about. I was 0 to 1, kind of saying they're not going to raise the rate. You were on the same board that I was playing on. Yeah, it's done. They're going, some point this year, they're giving back that quarter point.
To the phones we go. If you have a comment or question on the Brexit, 504-260-0995. Frank and Slidell, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks.
Hey, guys. I got some friends over in London in the financial industry, and it looks like they are looking at moving back to New York. It's really kind of a testament to, you know, what happens when you have, you know, I don't know if you saw this today, the most Googled phrase or a question in England today was, what is the EU?
Actually, that was number two.
We were looking at that, Frank.
Yeah, number one was, we just have it in front of us, Frank. We saw the same thing and we wanted to bring it on the show too, so you're right in line with us. Number one was, what does it mean to leave the EU? Number two was, what is the EU? For me, that's stuff that would have been more important information to have yesterday. But you're right. I'm not sure if how thorough they knew what they were voting on.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a way it's a consequence of what happens when you have, you know, a lot of low information voters, and, you know, a lot of ways I think that's akin to, you know, the Trump people and the Tea Party people in the U.S. They you know, they're not very well informed, and you're looking at older people not with real high educations, and London is going to be decimated. The financial industry there is going to be decimated. I mean, I think New York is going to
You sound like you would have voted to stay.
Oh, I probably would have voted to stay. I think the benefits outweigh the cost of being a part of it. But, I mean, you're talking about all these people are going to lose their ability to freely travel between these countries. They're going to lose the ability to, for, you know, having easy access to visas to go around the world. The trade, you know.
They're going to have the same access you have, Frank.
England is the size of, like, what, Pennsylvania. I mean, you're not talking about a big...
Well, it's not just England. There's more to the UK than just England. And
passports. Northern Ireland. But you're not talking about a huge population or industry. And for them to think they can go and negotiate better trade deals as a standalone entity versus being part of the EU is completely naive. I mean, they are...
Why would that be? The Swiss are doing just fine, and they're not in the EU, and they have to negotiate all their own trade deals.
That's not true. The Swiss have worse trade deals than the EU does on many fronts. I mean, the Swiss also have the benefit of that they have their banks are ingrained worldwide before this.
A minute ago, leaving the EU is going to be a disaster for their financial sector. And then we just brought up the one country in Europe that's not in the EU, and they have a booming financial sector.
Yeah, but it was booming way before the EU even existed. The London banks were not as ingrained as the Swiss banks worldwide prior to the EU's existence. And I can tell you, look, JP Morgan, Chase, Credit Suisse, they're packing up and moving out of London. So to act
they lost a lot of money yesterday because they bet the wrong way. They listened to the bookies. They stepped right in the middle of it and were wrong. So they were part of the elitist over there. And hey, they bet one way and it went against them. But England and the UK have the pound. You're not unwinding the currency. This would have been a whole disaster if you're unwinding and having to get the pound
reinstated. Right.
That's a whole different deal. They're going to get their trade agreements. This is a reset. 2 years to do this. Everybody wants to do trade. You need them. We're going to turn our backs on the UK. We're not. I want the same deal.
Here's the thing. You negotiate with equal partners. The EU was an equal partner with, you know, these other trading blocks. Right now, England and Northern Ireland. I mean, you're talking about a small place. It does not have the weight to cut its own deals of any in any way that's going to be better than the deals they had when they were in the EU. Look at these organizations that are fleeing London right now. I mean, they're literally Credit Suisse is going to close up shop there. You're talking about it's going to be the death of the financial.
They're not leaving. They're not leaving. The money's not done over there.
Listen, the only reason they were in London because of the EU is because they were able to consolidate some of their offices. It's not like those people are going to necessarily lose their job. just instead of administrating it from France, because you had the free trade and the free travel and all that good stuff, they'll just open another office in France or expand the office in France they had if they really want to have a guy there. And you look, I'm sure tomorrow we're going to hear from some other people who wanted to remain in the EU about how these corporations who got cleaned out are evil and they don't deserve all the money they have. So, I mean,
it's a cautionary tale when you have, I mean,
Frank, we're celebrating. There's no cautionary tale over here. I would like to see this result replicated across country after country after country.
Well, I might be a little happy because we saw it coming.
Hey, we appreciate the call, though, Frank. Call back anytime. We appreciate the back and forth, bud. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't mind hearing his side. I just think my side's a little disconnected there. It's the reset. You have options. They could, we're good. Let's just put it back like it was. I could do that, too.
504-260-0995 if you have any comments. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on News Talk
995
WRNO.
Red, Nick. Can't survive. Yeah, the boys around here.
Hey, some of you probably tried to catch us last night. By the way, I'm Gregory Ricks and James Parker. We're the host of this daily show that is live. You can do like Frank did, call 504-260-0995 to get involved, interact in the show. You can message on the app. You can email also. But if you were trying to catch us last night, yeah, the NBA preempted us on the terrestrial. But if you have that iHeartRadio app, which on our app that you can download on the phone, there's a link there as well to jump over. So when this NBA season starts again, we're always going to be on the stream because we're going to be in a lot more markets than just New Orleans as well. We're going to the big time. So you can always get on the stream and catch us if you can't hear us on the terrestrial, but we'll be giving you heads up. That's going to be a while before that starts, but we're already running tests and doing that to make sure you can always connect up with us, whether you're in the UK or here in New Orleans.
I think we have another person from the UK stumble in the Periscope room.
Awesome. Must be welcome.
Here's a simple question. Do you think Brexit is good for the US?
It started us leading down to where we need to get, and we've got a reset coming called a recession that's coming our way. I don't see it as bad. That's where the market became even more overpriced. Oh, they're going to stay. And then all they did was erase just that. So, you know, if this was going to be ugly and something, you know, we wouldn't have seen a 600-point drop on the Dow. You'd have had trading stopped a couple times today, and it probably would have shed 1,000 points if this was going to be something bad with us. We're going to redo the deals. Heck, Trump's wanting to redo everybody's deals. So if you let him in the door, he is. Now, Hillary, she's going to do the deals with the UK. It's no big deal. She just don't want to redo all the other deals. I don't see it as, okay, yeah, we're getting some volatility, so we're going to go some pain along with you in the reset, but I think it's better long-term.
Well, I think we're way better long-term because when you get England out, and man, if we could get like the France and the Germany out of there too, think of how much more money Germany would have to invest, I don't know, say here in America or in other countries.
Instead of carrying those other countries?
And, yeah, instead of having to float the next round of sovereign Greek debt. Right. The problem with the EU is it weighs down some of our better trading partners in countries that would otherwise be more productive and contribute more to the worldwide global economy. They would make more widgets instead of subsidizing Greek bonds.
And this, our Fed is doing this to us too. Our central bank is always trying to say, oh, we can't go into recession. We got to keep the GDP growing. You know, it's too low. Well, no, this is the new normal, but you don't need to just save us all the time. What you're probably doing is preparing us for something worse by not letting some of this reset.
Trim the fat.
Yeah, trim the fat. And that's where what they're doing over there in some of those countries, some of them need a reset. Companies go through it and they're better. How about Apple? They have a reset back in the day?
Worked out okay for them.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So you had asked about what countries are in the EU. It's 28, I guess technically 27 now, because the UK left.
But, you know, I still hard to say they weren't all in, were they?
They weren't all in.
Yeah, because the currency.
Right. Some were in the currency, some weren't. Some that were in the EU weren't in the currency.
But 27, 28. I did not realize it was that many.
Yeah, but you get a lot of these piddly states in there, and it kind of boosts the numbers.
How many members are in the UK?
The UK, gosh, it would be England, Wales, Scotland, North Ireland, Falkland Islands, and then you have a bunch of little bitty ones like the Isle of Man and Jersey and Gibraltar. And
yeah, it all still adds up a bunch of people.
Right. I think, what are they at, 60 million, 65 million people? What's the UK these days? But look, when you get the Baltic states, you get Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. That's, you know, the size of really England, but it's three counts as three countries. So you have a couple of those pop in there. And then that whole mishmash in Eastern Europe where you have a bunch of little guys that are kind of next to each other. You know what I'm talking about? You got the, see who's in there. Croatia, Bulgaria, a bunch of those little guys. Hungary.
Oh, Steven sent a message over. Great Britain will save $18 million in EU membership fees.
Billion, right?
He says million, but...
Oh, I figured it was billion.
But, hey, so they have condo fees for being members there, huh?
Yeah, your HOA dues.
Yeah.
Yeah, the EU kind of is like an HOA. They get way out of control. You know how they say, look, we're just going to all work together and we're going to streamline it and we'll all benefit from it together. And next thing you know, you get a $50 fine for leaving your trash cans out after trash day.
Oh, Homer sent me it's a message through the app. Kind of a compliment. Gregory, you are one smart cookie. Thanks for being a true fiduciary.
Cool. Who said that?
Homer, buddy from the Gulf Coast. So yeah, we did get it right. You know, I was watching some of the shows this morning, CNBC, some of the folks coming up. Boy, I bet, you know, it was at lunchtime when I ran back by the house. So I, of course, we always have financial shows on. That's just the way we roll at the Rick's. And I was watching, somebody's doing some interviews and one guy was kind of annoying. However, they said, I bet you're getting a lot of calls at your firm today. He didn't comment on it, but he was talking about why it's going to be fine down the road. So he's in equities. And how many calls did we get today with somebody worrying about their money? Zero.
Is it exactly zero? Or is it one or two?
Exactly zero. Now, I did talk to a client at the end of the day. He called in and he couldn't get into his GPS, into the GPS website. And what's his name? Santelli?
Rick Santelli.
Santelli. I liked how he used that in the tape that we played earlier in the show where he's talking about the GPS. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're kind of resetting, recalculating the GPS. But the client called in and yeah, he figured we did pretty good today because he understood where we were positioned for. And then he was kind of excited. He said, man, I didn't know I was going to make that much today. And he is up over $50,000. Up.
Whoa.
Over $50,000 today when everything went to heck in a handbasket. And so, yeah, we weren't lit up by calls. It's kind of pretty cool day to be making money when everybody else is losing.
So 48 hours ago, all the predictions were going the other direction. The bookies were going the other direction. Wall Street was going the other direction. JP Morgan Chase was going the other direction. We chose the.
I did have thoughts yesterday morning of shifting.
But you were thinking about those two bottles of Malbec still hanging over your head, weren't you? And you're like, Parker and his predictions.
There is no bet, but you know, where like everything else, like, God, it's all going to stay. And the market's like having a party, acting like it's going to break through resistance. And I thought about it for a few minutes and I said, no, we're going to stand pat because we're in the right position for this. Man, was I happy at 7:30 when I made that call.
Got another comment from the UK. First off, do you think Monday is going to be a good time to buy? His second comment was good riddance on the resignation. I think he's talking about David Cameron said he's going to step down in, what,
well,
3 months or something?
He said if he got it wrong, if they he was going to, so he stuck to his word, and I commend him for that.
Yeah, good for him for being a man of his word.
You know, it'd be a hard job for him going forward to be the guy that got it wrong, but okay, I'll help you through it. He's like, I'm done. I shouldn't be the guy.
What about the first part of that comment? Monday, is that buying zone?
I don't think so. But I want to see the technicals over the weekend. I've got some research to do to see, but I think we're going to have a lot of sell signals on the market. And I don't think this exit is priced in yet. All we did was erase the little rally and excitement of them staying. You saw the charts.
Well, you're staying on the inverse, so that's not what you're betting.
Oh, we're holding. We went to the weekend holding the inverses. So we're still inverse.
So what are you thinking? Like maybe middle of next week or who knows? Well, let's wait and see how long this unwinds.
I can't tell you. We could want to get out of them on Tuesday, for example, or we might go through a good part of July.
Hey, so UK guy, follow us there. You see our profile. Follow us, and we'll do this again on Monday and update you.
Exactly. So we look, Ross Stewart, some of the top losers today. You had Planet Fitness off 10%. Let's see. iPath Bloomberg was off, 8.5%? First Trust off 5%. Hey, we got Ross Stores off 4%.
But that's not a Brexit thing, right? That's just,
that's just looking. Looking at some of the stocks.
Well, look who I have on my loser sheet today. Invesco lost almost 14%. Financial company. Lincoln National, 13% financial. Delphi Automotive, okay, that's 12.
But I'm sorry. I was giving you after hours. That's not even the darn market.
Check
today.
This out. Notice how many of these are financial companies. So Charles Schwab down 12%, E-Trade down 12%, Affiliated Managers 11.5% down. Priceline, that's not. American Airlines, not. MetLife down 11%. Principal Finance down 10%. Ameriprise down 10%. Zions Bancorp down 10%. Morgan Stanley 10%. Freeport-McMoRan, not so much. Comerica, down 10%. The financials got cleaned out. Why? Because they all bet wrong earlier this week. And who got it right? Let's see here. We can brag for a little bit longer, Greg. I think we got it right. I got it right. You got it right. That's what you said. That's what I said. That's so weird.
It was a good day. Really was. It was fun. I'm looking forward to doing that. We're going to be on tomorrow at 10 a.m., 3 hours live. So we're going to rehash this some more. And there's so much more to talk about. I got to go back on those attorneys trying to put IRAs in trusts.
Yeah, and Dwayne Stein will be our guest at 11 o'clock. And this looks pretty good for anyone interested in a mortgage as well. Your home away from the show is the Gregory Ricks & Associates app and GregoryRicks.com. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private use of our audience. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without express consent by Gregory Ricks is prohibited.